Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. There is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. When I'm on my way, someone else gets down there before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man became well, took up his mat, and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to be carrying your mat." He answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who told you, 'Take it up and walk'?" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away, since there was a crowd there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on a Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're now 9 days into the second phase of Lent, focused on baptism. And today is probably one of the strongest days of them all, which we begin with our entrance antiphon. "All who are thirsty, come to the water. All you who are poor, come and drink." Today in the Gospel, we have this great miracle. The man lame for 38 years at the Pool of Bethesda. He was just at the Pool of Bethesda. You see the ruins there of the five porticos. You see the area where all the ill, blind, lame, and crippled would be waiting for the superstitious moving of the water, and then the scampering to see who could be the first one in. And the hope against hope that if you won the race, you'd win your cure. Distinct disadvantage for those who were ill, especially the lame and the crippled. But nevertheless, Jesus on the Sabbath day comes there. It's just inside the city gates, very close to the temple area. Would have been a great place to be begging. And lots of people would be coming in order to rest a little bit by the cool waters of the pool. And we see how much this man needed to be made well. When Jesus came to him, he asked him a very simple question. "Do you want to be made well?" Now we would have expected the answer would have been, "Of course I wish to be made well." It would kind of be like a starving man being offered a sandwich. "Do you want a sandwich?" Or a postpartum mother, "Would you like to hold your newborn?" Or a prisoner, "Would you like to receive a pardon?" Of course he would want to be made well. Yet Jesus was asking because he didn't just want to work a cure. For Jesus, it was never about physical miracles. It was through the physical miracle bringing about a far greater healing, healing of faith. So he would always want our participation. "Do you want to be made well?" And the man was so wounded interiorly that he couldn't just say yes. So he starts to play a violin solo. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water's stirred up. When I'm on my way, someone else gets down there before me. Have pity on me, Lord. I can't be made well. I can't win that race. Jesus changed all of that in an instant, saying the same thing to the paralyzed man in Capernaum. Rise, take up your mat, and go and walk. He was inviting this person to an act of faith. This man actually had to have the courage to seek to rise. That same word is anastasis. It's the word for resurrection. He had to have the courage to enter into what Jesus was commanding, to try to get up. And he did. We'll have a chance to focus later in this week on the drama that flowed from that. But Jesus, every Lent, asks us, do you want to be made well? The entrance antiphon asks us, are we thirsty? And the first reading, as I alluded to on Saturday, is the great image of what Jesus wants to do for us through the life that flows from baptism. Everything flows from that trickle, flowing from the eastern side of the true temple, whose temple was burst on Calvary, and from which flowed this blood and water. It was a trickle at first. We're supposed to grow in it as we grow in the Catholic faith. We're supposed to journey cubit by cubit, 1,000 cubits by 1,000 cubits, immersing ourselves ever more into this life-giving stream. It's one that flows down into the Araba and brings life even to the desolate desert and raises a sea called dead to life. God wants us progressing in the waters of baptism. He wants us journeying. That is the Christian life, step by step. But we need to thirst for it. We need to want the power of healing that it contained. 5 years ago today, Jorge Bergoglio was elected the 266th Peter. From the beginning of his pontificate, if there's one message, it's that he is on a journey with everyone, needing God's healing. His motto, Miserando ad quaeligendo, basically tells his vocation story in 3 words. That the Lord, in mercifying him, the Lord in having mercy, was similarly calling him. In that first interview, who is Jorge Bergoglio? It's quite noteworthy that his response was, I am a sinner, looked on with love by the Lord, looked on with that healing glance. When Pope Francis came out on that balcony, and as you probably know, I was there doing the television, and asked the people of God throughout the world to pray for him before he would give the blessing, it was a humble admission that he similarly was a sinner who needed God's grace in order to be an instrument of grace toward others. He stood above that bas-relief of Peter's receiving the keys of the kingdom of heaven, as he himself was receiving those keys. But on the flip side of that balcony, as one leaves the basilica, you've got the image of Peter walking on water, sinking after he had taken his eyes off of Jesus, and then crying out to the Lord, save me. The same instant in which the Pope receives this divine mission and power, he remains frail. And if he takes his eyes off of the Lord, he can sink. And he will, as we know from popes throughout the centuries. Which is why it's so important that Pope Francis constantly is saying, at the end of almost every letter he writes, at the end of every audience, pregate per me, rethink for me, pray for me. Do we? You know, there are a lot of critics of the Holy Father all throughout the world. And some of his decisions can make Catholics justly scratch their heads. But the question I always ask the critics is, how seriously are you taking his request to pray? Do you actually pray for the Holy Father more than you write screeds against the Holy Father? Do you recognize that he, like you, is in need of God's grace, of God's living water, of the Lord's wisdom, of the Lord's courage? Today, as we mark his fifth anniversary, we recognize that he and we are on a pilgrimage, cubit by cubit, seeking to immerse ourselves ever more in the Lord who is that living water. We renew our thirst for him in all our poverty, and come and drink. We recognize that the Lord wants to make us well. We don't have to jump superstitiously into a pool. We have to jump faithfully into his arms, because the Lord of hosts is with us, and we're about to receive the stronghold of Jacob. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.